ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु पपद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके. So we're going to read a little bit from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam concerning the battle between Indra and Vritasura. So Vritasura was very ferocious demonic form. He was actually, in his previous life, he was Chitraketu, and he was cursed to take this form as a demon. So Lord Shiva's wife Parvati had cursed him to take this form. But he maintained his devotion. He was a great devotee of Lord Sankarshan. So even though he was cursed to take the body of a demon, he did not lose his devotion for Lord Sankarshan. So when Vritasura first appeared in the battlefield fighting for the demons against the demigods were overwhelmed and they could not even think how to defeat Vritasura. He had such a huge, gigantic form, and he was just swallowing the demigods. So the demigods were just running away from him. So Indra approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he prayed to the Supreme Lord. Of course, Indra was praying to the Lord, please kill this demon for us. But the Lord told Indra, no, you kill him yourself. So he gave a hint to Indra how he could kill this demon. He told him, you have to get the bones from the great sage, Dadichi. So this great, this sage Dadichi, he's very renowned, his body is very powerful because he's done so much austerity, that if you get the bones from his body, you can make a weapon, and from that weapon, you can kill Vritasura. So Indra had to come and meet Dadichi, and he had to ask him, can you please give me your bones from your body? So Dadichi, he agreed a little bit, but he wanted to hear some religious instruction from Indra. So he said, Dadichi said to the demigods headed, who were, you know, headed by Indra, and he told them, he said, you know, at the time of death, it's very painful. Severe pain, and we become unconscious. You must know about how painful the time of death is. And then Dadichi said to the demigods that, you know, everyone, we're all attached to our material body. We do everything we can to protect our body, to maintain it. We'll even sacrifice all of our possessions for the sake of our body. You know, if your house is on fire, you'll get out, you'll save yourself. If you, you know, you may not be able to save your house, but you want to save yourself. And if you have a car, your car is worth a lot of money, but still you will save yourself before you save the car. So, you know, it's, if you are asking me to give up my body for Lord Vishnu. But it's not easy for me to give up my body. So then the demigods said to Dadichi, they said, oh great Brahman, you're very pious, and we know that there's nothing you would do, there's nothing you would not do for the benefit of other people. You're always kind, you're always thinking about the welfare of others. And then the demigod said to Dadichi, some people are very selfish and they will beg something from others, not knowing about how much pain they give to others. It's like sometimes, you know, you go to ask people for something and they really don't have anything to give. Although they would like to give, but you know, they're very poor.
हामीले दुसँग मागिरहेका छौँ उनीहरूसँग मलाई दिनु त इच्छा छ
So this is painful. It's painful for them that they're not able to give. If the person begging knew how much pain he was causing that person, then they would not ask for anything. And the same way, sometimes we see that some people are able to give charity, but they do not know how much difficulty the person who is asking for the charity is going through. If he knew how difficult it was to ask for charity, he would never refuse to give anything. So this verse describes two kinds of people. One who gives charity and one who begs for charity. So when we're begging, we should not ask charity from a person who has difficulty. Yeah, we shouldn't ask poor people to give charity. Because they're already in difficulty, they're struggling with their life. And if you ask them to give charity, then it's very painful for them. And at the same time, if we're able to give charity, we should never refuse a beggar, a person who is asking for charity. So this is the instruction from Chanakya Pandit. He says, everything within this world will be destroyed one day. So we should use whatever we have for good purposes. And if a person has knowledge, he should be willing to give up everything for a good cause. So Srila Prabhupada says, at this time the whole world is in a dangerous condition because people are not conscious of God. So to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, we need many people who are willing to sacrifice their life to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. So Prabhupada says he invites all men and women who have a little knowledge of Krishna consciousness that you should join this Krishna consciousness movement and sacrifice your life to spread Krishna consciousness to everyone. So when the demigods spoke like this, then Dadichi became satisfied. But then he said to the demigods that at first I was refusing to give my body to you, but now I'm willing. Because I know that this body will leave me one day, either today or tomorrow. I have to give up this body. We will all have to give up our body. If not today, tomorrow. Dadichi said, if I can do some good with my body now, so I will give up my body for you. So the same way we should give up our life for a Krishna consciousness movement. We should go out and preach all over the world. So Dadichi says to the demigods, if a person has no compassion for people, then he is just like an animal. Such a person is certainly an unfortunate person. Dadichi said, even the immovable beings means even the trees feel sorry for such a person. Prabhupada gives an example about the Goswamis, the six Goswamis who gave up everything for the service of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was a householder, and he was living very nice life with his elderly mother and young wife, but he left everything. He became a sannyasi. Sannyasi means a walking dead man. To take sannyas means it's like committing suicide. But Lord Chaitanya did this to set the example for people. And the Goswamis, but they were also very renowned. They were coming from wealthy families. And they accepted loincloths and lived under a different tree every night. So in the same way, you know, even though you may be living a materially comfortable life, you should give it up and take to Krishna consciousness. Why should you wait for this body to die? So in this way, the demigods are Dadichi is speaking to the demigods. So we see examples like this within our Krishna consciousness movement. Yeah, there was one young devotee joined Prabhupada's movement, and he was coming from a very wealthy family. And he had good education, he's a university graduate. And his father had a big business, he was a lawyer. And he wanted his son also would come in the business with him. But then his son went off to India with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was beginning our Krishna consciousness movement in India, and he told some the devotees from America they should all come with him to India. So then this man, this devotee's father came to India to see Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was in Calcutta, at the Calcutta center, and the man's son was there in the Calcutta temple. So his father came there to see Prabhupada, and so then he said to Prabhupada, he said, okay Swamiji, how much do you want? I have brought my checkbook. How much I have to pay you? He said, yeah, I want my son back. How much I have to pay you to get my son back? So Prabhupada said, bring that devotee here. So then Prabhupada said to the devotee, he said, your father wants you to go back to America. But the devotee said, I won't go, Prabhupada. So then the devotee's father said, no, you have to come, I need you for the business. You're my only son. But the devotee said, no, Prabhupada, I cannot go. My mother and father, they always fight with each other. And my sister, she always goes out to parties with different men, and she drinks and does so many bad things. He said, I don't want to go back to that life. But his father is saying, but look, I have $1 million here for you. I'm going to put in your bank account for you. But he said, no, I don't want that. So Prabhupada said to his father, he said, what can I do? He doesn't want to go. Just like also one other disciple of Prabhupada, he's from the Ford Motor family, Ambarish. So when he was a young man, when he was a student, he was very unhappy. Nothing would make him satisfied. He had so much money, he was so rich. could do anything. But it's very unhappy with wife. Sometimes he would just pick up a chair and throw it through a window. And they say, "Hey, what have you done?" And he would say, "I'm bored, I can pay." No, money is no object. But he was so unhappy, he just could not get any satisfaction in his life. And then he came to Krishna consciousness. And he met Prabhupada. He cultivated spiritual knowledge. And now he's using, he's spending millions and millions of dollars to build temples and like, and he first they gave his house in Hawaii, he gave a big house with land in Hawaii. Then he shared the cost to build a big temple, to buy a big house in Detroit. And then he paid more than $1 million to finish Prabhupada Samadhi in Mayapur. And now he's spending so many millions, many, many millions to build a new temple in Mayapur. So his money did not have any meaning until he became a devotee of Krishna. And he saw that when he's using his money for Krishna, then he finds satisfaction. Just like sometimes sometimes devotees join the temple, they come to the temple and they don't just have one car, they come with two cars. And they give both the cars to the temple. And then they go out all day and sell books in the street. And they're happy to do it. So like that, you know, don't think that, oh, 500 years ago those Goswamis, they did that, nowadays nobody could do it. Even today, in the modern times, people are also they're also renounced. Because they have heard the Krishna conscious knowledge. They've become detached from this material pleasure. So this is the power of association. When you associate with great devotees like Prabhupada, then they influence us. When we cultivate devotion, then we will also develop two things. We must develop knowledge and also detachment. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jnana Yati Yasu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayadahaitukam. That where there is bhakti, there must also be jnan and vairag.
Srimad Bhagavatam
Bhakti yoga is the highest of all yoga. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham madgetenantaratmanam. That of all yogis, the highest yogi is the one who is engaged in my loving devotional service. He's always thinking of me. So bhakti includes also jnana and vairagya. That vairag means to use everything in the service of Krishna. Not that we have to give up everything, but we have to use everything in Krishna's service. Sometimes people think vairag means you have to give up everything. You have to give up all your money, you have to leave the world, you have to go and live in a cave. But by actual renunciation means to use everything for Krishna's service. Actually, we don't have anything to renounce because nothing is ours. We were born with nothing. We have to live with nothing. So nothing is actually ours. Just like if the person is working in the bank and he sees all that money in the bank, so then he may say, okay, I renounce this money. But it's not our money to renounce. In the same way, we have nothing to really renounce in this world. It's ignorance for us to think anything is ours. We have to understand everything belongs to Krishna. So we use everything for Krishna's service. So then Dadichi says to the demigods, he said, if one is unhappy to see the suffering of others, unhappy to see their happiness, then this is not religious. If one is unhappy to see the suffering, if one is unhappy to see the distress of others, and happy to see their own happiness, their religious principles are appreciated as imperishable and are considered pious. They're considered pious. If one should be unhappy to see the distress of others. We should be happy to see others happy. Yeah, sometimes we're the other way around. When we see others suffer, we are thinking, and when others are unhappy, then we feel good about it. Srila Prabhupada writes, one generally follows different types of religious principles. And these principles depend on which particular mode of nature we're in. But this verse is describing actual religious principles. We should feel the happiness and the distress of others as our own. So this is actually Buddhist philosophy.
Yeah.
Buddhism is also, the Buddhist philosophy is contained within our own Krishna conscious philosophy. There's a story about Yudhisthira and Duryodhana. You know, Yudhisthira is a good man and Duryodhana is, he's not a good man. So they asked Yudhisthira, can you go outside and see if you can find any bad people? So he went out and said, no, they're all good people out there. So then he asked Duryodhana, you go out, can you go outside and see if there are any good people? And he came back and said, no, they're all bad people. So we see others as we are. So this verse is telling us that, you know, we should appreciate other people. When we see some people in suffering great pain and difficulty, we should feel sympathy for them. When people do bad things to us, we feel pain. So we should not do anything bad to others. So Lord Buddha's mission was to stop all of this killing of animals and to not to give unnecessary harm to others. So like Buddhism, their teaching, their main preaching is non-violence. But this is not the highest principle of religion. Non-violence is a good quality. Sometimes people have difficulty understanding why Bhagavad Gita could be such an important book when it's spoken on a battlefield and Krishna's encouraging Arjuna to fight and be violent. What kind of religious teaching is this? You're encouraging people to fight and kill? So people, they have to understand how everything can be used in the service of God. Violence is also necessary in certain situations. Just like if somebody is a murderer, if he has killed people, then he should be killed by the state. If he is not killed by the state, then he will suffer in hell for many births. So it's proper punishment for a murderer that they should be killed. Similarly also, a doctor has to cut, he has to do surgery. Sometimes he will take a knife and cut a person, but that is for the sake of healing. We may think, oh, this doctor is being violent, he's cutting. But the purpose of the cutting is to cure. So in the same way, sometimes violence is used for the in order to establish peace and proper order within society. So sometimes people cannot understand Lord Krishna's why Krishna is encouraging Arjuna that he should fight. And they say Krishna is responsible for the death of so many people at this Kurukshetra. And Arjuna was also saying in the beginning he didn't want to fight because he thought, no, this is very bad that we're going to kill people. So Krishna explained to him the philosophy, the knowledge of the soul, that for the body, the death is inevitable, but for the soul, there is no death. Antavanta imedeha nitya shakta sharirena. That this body must die. Nothing can stop the body from dying. But for the soul, you cannot kill the soul, you cannot burn it, you cannot cut it with any weapon, you cannot wet it, you cannot dry it. So Krishna explains to Arjuna that you don't have to worry. He said, even if you don't fight and kill them, these people are going to die anyway. But you should do your duty. Your duty is a kshatriya. You come here, the fight is arranged, you have to do your duty. So in this way, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna the purpose, why he must fight. So Prabhupada then points out, he goes on to say that you cannot be a religious person and at the same time kill animals. Of course, many times people will say, we know in Thailand, they will say, I didn't kill, I'm only eating. But if you eat, then you're also responsible for the killing. Everyone shares the karma. The person who raises the animal, the person who sells the animal, the person who kills the animal, the person who cuts the, who buys the meat, and the person who cooks the meat, and the person who eats the meat. So then they say, well, it's not important anyway, so long as you believe in God, you know, it doesn't matter, that's the main thing. It doesn't matter if you eat meat or not, that's not important. So Prabhupada said, well, that's like the man who is keeping hens. He's raising chickens. And he sees the front part of the hen is eating food and the back part is laying the egg. So we'll cut off the front part and we'll just keep the back part.
यो चाहिँ कस्तो कथा भयो अरे भन्दाखेरि गोपालले एउटा कथा भन्नुभयो चाहिँ एउटा कुखुरा पाल्नेले कुखुरा पाल्ने मान्छेले के गर्छ अगाडि मुखले कुखुराको दाना दियो त्यसपछि तपाईँबाट अन्डा आउँछ अनि त्यो मान्छेले के सोच्छ अगाडि सधैँ दाना मात्र खाइरहेको थियो अगाडिको पार्ट ट्याक्क काटिदिन पाएर कसैले अन्डा दिइरहेछ है उसले त्यस्तो सोचेर अगाडिको पार्ट चाहिँ ट्याक्कै काटेर खाल्यो दाना मन भएन.
So, do you know anybody keeping the hens like that? They just keep the back part? No, it cannot. So, in the same way, if you're going to be religious, you cannot eat meat, you cannot have anything to do with killing animals. So in this way we understand what are proper religious principles. So people have no sympathy for the poor animals. We should be compassionate. We shouldn't just be compassionate to people, we should be kind to animals also. Not only animals, we should be kind to the trees and the plants also. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he is the father of all living entities, all species of life. But we should be equal to all living entities. And just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us to see the soul in every living entity. Does Krishna say he is only in the heart of the Nepali people? Some other gods in the other people. Oh, Krishna is only in the Nepalis. And the other gods, some other persons in the heart of the other people. So Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmani Gave Hastine Suni Shaiva Papaki Cha Samo Pandita. You see everyone equal, all living entity, elephant, cow, dog, dog eater, and the Brahmana. Just like some people, they like dogs. They like dogs very much. But you shouldn't just like dogs. You should like pigs also.
But
Yeah, she likes mosquitoes. She likes cockroaches. Yeah, we should see Krishna in all of these creatures. But that doesn't mean you bring them all to the temple. We have to know how to deal with everyone. Yeah. We have special respect for the Brahmanas. We know they are very dear to Lord Krishna. Namo brahmana devaya go brahmana hitaya cha. But at the same time we have to understand that Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. So we have kindness towards others also. And we think how to benefit them. So Srila Prabhupada says that a Vaishnava, a devotee, should be a perfect person. He's very sorry to see others in an unhappy condition. But he's also happy to see others happy. Therefore, a devotee is always busy preaching Krishna consciousness. This is our real duty as devotee. Devotee means we always want to tell others about Krishna. Yeah, you can give the holy name to all of these other creatures. We have to chant the holy name to all the living entities everywhere. But especially we want to give the holy name to the humans. Because the human form of life is very special. It's a special opportunity to make progress. We can't distribute books to the dogs and cats and the cockroaches. So it's the human life where people are getting their karma. The human life, which is very important. So we want them to make proper use of this opportunity. It's very rare to get the human body. And if they get the association of devotees, then they're the most fortunate humans. Okay, Hare Krishna. Any questions?
I have two questions.
Yeah.
Sometimes when we go out for book distribution and we do meet some healthy people who have no money and they sometimes even they show their wallet and there is not even 20 bucks. So are we making offense by begging money from the poor people?
अघिको प्रश्न चाहिँ के छ भन्दाखेरि जब किताब वितरण गर्न गइन्छ कहिले कहिले किताब दिँदाखेरि कोही व्यक्तिहरूसँग पैसा नै हुँदैन होइन उनीहरूले
Well, if you insist that he give you 20 baht when he doesn't have 20 baht, then that's not very nice. Yeah, you know, if somebody's in genuine hardship, okay, we should appreciate his situation, and you can at least give him the holy name of Krishna, you can teach him to chant. You can invite him to come for the program. Invite him to come and hear the philosophy. You know, if he doesn't have money, maybe he's no job, so he's got time, you can come. So you can teach him about Krishna consciousness. So you have to think how to engage everyone. We shouldn't think he's useless because he's no money. There's a story that one guru, he asked his disciples, he said, go into the forest and bring some of these dry leaves on the ground, the useless leaves, bring some of these leaves here for me. So the disciples, they went into the forest and they saw all these leaves on the ground. But then the farmer said, hey, those are my leaves, I'm going to use those leaves. He said, I take them to my field and I burn them and they make good fertilizer for the soil. So they went a bit further and then they found some more leaves, but they found there were some ladies there and they were taking the leaves and they were stitching them and making leaf plates to offer to serve the prasadam at the temple. So they went a bit further and there were more leaves, but then they saw this big bird was picking the leaves and taking the leaves up into the tree to build its nest. So they came back, they told the guru, they said, we couldn't find any useless leaves. They said, all the leaves are being used. So like that, everything is useful. We have to learn how to use everything. So Krishna consciousness is not just for rich people, it's not just for, you know, only one class, it's for everyone. So we have to engage people, we have to see how we can engage them. You have to find out first that you want to meet people who are willing to hear. Are they willing to hear? That's the first thing. Okay, what's the other question?
How can you give respect to the plant? Like, because sometimes we walk in the street and sometimes we also
you have to be chanting Hare Krishna. You have to be engaged in the service of Krishna. If you're walking on this on the grass and not walking for the service of Krishna, then you're offending them. You have to always be thinking of Krishna and chanting Krishna's name, giving the holy name to the plants also. Sometimes we also offer prasadam to the plants also. And you can also decorate the plants with the prasad, the flower offerings, the malas that you can use to offer the put them on the tree or on the plants. But best is to chant the holy name. Let them hear the sound vibration. You can liberate them. Okay, any other question?
He's saying the Bhajan Suddha Bhagata Charanam. But how we know who is the Suddha Bhagata?
So Prabhu Sunday Vananda, I walk around the Suddha Bhagata Charanam when he gives Gayo.
Well, that Krishna knows.
Krishna,
everybody has faith in different things. You know, your faith is in one person, somebody else has faith in another person. It's not the same for everyone. So ultimately Krishna knows who is Shukla. But certain things are there to, at the same time. You have to see that they're always attached to Krishna. They're always speaking about Krishna and engaged in Krishna's service. You have to see by their activities, but you can't think that the person you have faith in will be the same as other people. It's going to be different for everyone. You should think everyone should be bhakta but you. We should always think about our own self as being unqualified and everyone else as being better. They asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees, are there any other pure devotees on the planet besides you, Prabhupada? One time a devotee asked Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, how many members do we have in our society? So then they said, oh, 500 Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada said, then there are at least 500 pure devotees. So Shuddha Bhakta means they're following four principles strictly. And they're chanting the holy name of Krishna. That is the standard of pure devotion. But among pure devotees, there's different standards. There's very high pure devotees and there's ordinary pure devotees.
तर शुद्ध भक्त पनि श्रेणी छ, कोही एकदम धेरै शुद्ध भक्त उच्च स्तरका हुन्छन्,
there are pure devotees like Vyasadeva, Narada Muni.
र शुद्ध भक्तमा पनि जस्तै व्यासदेव पनि शुद्ध भक्त हुनुहुन्छ, नारद मुनि पनि शुद्ध भक्त हुनुहुन्छ,
प्योर डिवोटीज लाइक श्रील प्रभुपाद,
श्रील प्रभुपाद जस्ता पनि शुद्ध भक्त हुनुहुन्छ,
प्योर डिवोटीज लाइक भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर,
भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर जस्ता शुद्ध भक्त पनि हुनुहुन्छ.
यु नो इट्स नॉट दैट एवरी प्योर डिवोटी इज द सेम,
तर यस्तो होइन कि सबै शुद्ध भक्त एउटै श्रेणीका हुनुहुन्छ भनेर भन्नु.
प्रभुपाद एक्सप्लेन्स that some devotees are writing books, and they are writing books for the benefit of others. And others, some people don't write any books. But still they can be pure devotees. So you can't just say, oh, this person has got so many disciples, he must be pure devotee. No, you can't use any material means to judge who is a Shuddha
Bhakti.
One time they came in London, and when Prabhupada was in London, and that time Prabhupada was living in our little temple. We just had a very simple temple in London, very small place at that time. And there were other gurus, they were having big cars and living in big houses. And they saw us at Hare Krishna devotees at that time. We were just going in the street selling magazine and, you know, just getting some money from people in the street for a magazine. So then they asked Prabhupada, you know, what do you think about all these so-called gurus who have got all the big cars and all the properties? So they thought Prabhupada would criticize them. But Prabhupada told this reporter, he said, you cannot judge the spiritual master just by what vehicle he rides. It said, one who is a cheater, he may be riding the bicycle. And one who is a good teacher, he may be in the big car. You shouldn't think because he's got a big car and a lot of money, he must be a cheater. And you shouldn't think because he's got a bicycle and just rides a bicycle that he must be an honest teacher. You have to hear what he's saying. So in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is the nature of one who has achieved transcendence? In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna asks Krishna a question. Stita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Stasya Keshava Stita Kim Prapaseta Kim Masita Prajeta Kim. Arjuna is asking Krishna, what is the nature of one who has achieved transcendence? How does he speak? And what is his language? How does he sit? And how does he walk?
So
So Prabhupada said the most important quality is speaking. You until a person speaks, you cannot understand. You know, someone may be well dressed, may have the nice suit, you know, and he looks very good. But when he speaks, as soon as he speaks, you may know he's a fool. You know, Prabhupada saw, he was traveling in airports, he saw people in the airports, business suits and everything, but he could hear them speaking also. They're simply talking only money and sex, women. So you have to hear from a person, and if they're speaking about Krishna, then this is the sign that they're in Krishna consciousness. So our Krishna consciousness movement is a movement of pure devotees. We should respect all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. But it doesn't mean we're all on the level of Narada Muni or Vyasa. Okay, any other question? Yes, Madhav, answer.
She's asking like you are having some kind of difficulty and other people are enjoying your suffering. So then what should you do? How should you react?
Well, devotee is tolerant. Maybe we should think that I need to suffer more because of my past, because of the things I've done in my past, I meant to suffer more, but Krishna is just giving me a little suffering. With tendency is to feel so sorry for herself. Oh, I don't know why this happens to me. I'm such a good person. I always help people. Why this thing happens to me?
Generally, normally they keep up with my kids in the night. Oh, Monte Cotti Ramusu, my Santa Ramusu, but Molly Nikin has no
idea. But we should think we're meant to suffer much more. But our suffering is reduced by the grace of Krishna. Anupam, you have a question?
Mainly my society is not famous in the world. I'm working in the other society. Every time I try to share ideas or not eat meat, not eat sunlight, and laugh. But one question is on my mind every time. I cannot create some answer for this. This question when people ask me about local people from area when I was born, for example, like Bangkok Island Sea, where it's 10 or 8 months on the ice, and people cannot find something food. You know, like fish or something like that. I know, I can survive now, because you can go to shop and buy rice and something like that, but what about local people? And I cannot create some answer.
They have to live in conditions where there's no natural, can't grow anything. Because it's from Russia, very cold country in the winter, so all ice there. so that, you know, they have to eat some fish or...
Yeah, I know, this question, not too much reason in this question, but many times people bring this question just for broken mind idea, our idea. But this logical question, and we should answer very logical, we can find this answer.
Yeah.
प्रविधिको प्रश्न चाहिँ के छ भन्दाखेरि उहाँ जस्तै एकदम चिसो ठाउँबाट आउनुभएको छ रसियामा, जहाँ चाहिँ वर्षको छ महिना जति त हिउँै हिउँ मात्रै हुन्छ पुरै. अब त्यस्तो ठाउँमा त्यस्ता त्यहाँका व्यक्तिहरूले उहाँ अहिले भेजिटेरियन हुनुहुन्छ, तर त्यहाँका व्यक्तिहरूले के भन्छन् भन्दाखेरि ओ यो हामी त अब छ महिना हिउँ भएर कसरी खाना खाने, न तरकारी हुन्छ केही पनि हुँदैन, कसरी खाने भनेर उहाँलाई प्रश्न गर्छन् अरे. अनि उहाँलाई चाहिँ उत्तर कसरी दिने खाने भनेर त्यही भएर महाराजसँग सोध्दै हुन्छ, कसरी मैले एकदम उनीहरूलाई छिटो मिठो राम्रो उत्तर दिन सक्छु.
You see, when Prabhupada was first sending devotees to Russia to preach, they were saying to Prabhupada, there's no vegetables here in the winter. Prabhupada said, doesn't matter, eat meat, but go and preach.
प्रभुपालाई जस्तै पहिलोचोटि प्रभुपालले रसियामा जानु प्रीत गर्नु प्रचार गर्नु भन्दाखेरि भक्तहरूले के भन्यो, प्रभुपाल रसियामा त तरकारी सरकारी केही पनि पाइँदैन, कसरी खाने के गर्ने भन्दाखेरि प्रभुपालले केही पनि फरक पर्दैन, जाऊ मासु खानु पऱ्यो भने मासु खाऊ तर प्रचार गर्नुपर्छ.
So, you know, you don't preach about meat eating. You don't preach about, you know, being a vegetarian and like, just preach about Krishna consciousness first. Get them to be Krishna conscious. Get them to chant. Before Prabhupada went to America, he did not know. He did not know what it would be like in America. He thought I was prepared. I was prepared even to, you know, let them continue meat eating, but just try to give them Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, get them attached to Krishna, and then the rules and regulations come later.
उहाँले त्यस्तो राम्रोसँग खानै थिएन, तर उहाँले के सोच्नु भएको थियो भन्दाखेरि हो अमेरिकामा मासु खानै छोड्नु सक्दै सक्दैनन् भने चाहिँ केही छैन, बरू जसरी भए पनि कृष्ण भावनामा त्यो कृष्णको बारे ज्ञान दिन्छु र बिस्तारै रुलहरू त आफै भन्दै जान्छ.
So you have to preach in that way according to the circumstances.
हामीले प्रचार गर्नुपर्छ देश र भेद अनुसार.
Get them attached to Krishna.
जसरी तसरी कृष्णसँग उनीहरूको आसक्ति बढाउनु भयो.
Okay, Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada.